Well, good morning, Vertical Church. How are you doing this morning? Good. So good to be here. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our living hope? He's not our dead hope. Amen. He's our living hope. Amen. Turn to your neighbor before you sit down and say, he's my living hope. Amen. Amen. Well, I am not Pastor Philip this morning. I know, shocking. He did not shrink and grow less hair and curly hair. But I am so glad to be back with you at Vertical Church. My name, if you don't know who I am, my name is David Lear, and I am a pastor down in Woodstock, Georgia. And I have an amazing church down there that I love so much. They're in great hands this morning, but I am so glad to be at Vertical Church this morning. Philip and I have been friends for a long time, and he is just like a true, how many of you have those true brothers in the Lord that you can know that you can always call, you can always talk to, and he is always full of encouragement. So, Philip, I know you're watching. I just love you, brother. I appreciate you. Thanks for the opportunity to come and speak to this amazing church this morning. Well, this morning, I am going, so Philip, you guys, he started a series last week about, he said it was decisive battles. Y'all remember that? Amen? And so I want to continue that this morning in a little bit different way. He asked me this morning to speak on decisive battles relationships. And a hush fell over the crowd. So all you wives and all you husbands, just keep your elbows in this morning. It's not elbow time this morning. Amen. We're going to be nice to our spouses. Amen. This morning. Is that all right? That's nice to our neighbors this morning. So I want to tell, this morning, I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to talk about some principles. I'm going to tell another story. And then we can all go home and go get lunch. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So that could be the best amen I get all morning, the lunch amen. So, all right. So my first story, I had a decisive battle in one of my relationships. It was with my cell phone provider. Amen. I won't tell you which cell phone provider it was, but it starts with a T. And so I got a text. So we use a cell phone for our main church line back at home at my church, Hope Church. And I got a text that said, hey, I tried to call the church, and there was no, it just went straight to a busy tone. It was like, it didn't work. Like, the phone's not working. And I go, well, that's strange because we have it on an automatic payment. How many of you thank God for automatic payments? Amen. So it was an automatic payment. I don't know why that wouldn't work. So I did what we all get to do sometimes in our lives. We get to call customer service for our cell phone provider. Isn't that always a lovely experience? Yeah. And so I called up the cell phone provider. I called them on my personal phone, which is also the same carrier. So they sent me to not the business side, but the personal side. So I had to convince the person that I was in the wrong place. No, it's right here. You're calling from this number. That's not the phone I'm talking about. I'm talking about it was so confusing. Amen? How many of you feel me? But also, not only that, but my cell phone was in the church name. So when it pulls up, it's Hope Church. Now I can't yell at this person because I'm representing Jesus. Amen? How many of you feel that? So I have this decisive battle in this relationship with my cell phone provider. So they send me, oh, you're in the wrong place. I'm going to transfer you. That's always a comforting thing to hear. I'm going to transfer you to this other department, and then that's not the right department. So I'm going to transfer you to this other department. I feel like I'm being transferred all over the world, right? And so then I finally, everybody say finally, finally get to the right person with the right solution for my problem. And actually, it was just a clerical error. They had used a credit card that we had canceled, and it's been going great for a while. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, they just decided to start using the one that didn't work. Not sure why that happened. But they fixed it. And actually, I said their name, T-Mobile, because actually they were really great. They were actually really great. I wouldn't say if it turned out bad, I wouldn't have told you who it was. But actually, it turned out really great. They were really nice. Eventually, when I got to the right person, they were really great. And actually, we always came out better. They were really sorry, and they actually gave us back. How many of y'all are grateful sometimes when actually customer service works? So after that 5 hours of customer service conversation, it was all great. So I learned something about relationships that I want to talk to you about this morning, about the fighting the decisive battle of relationships. You see, when God created man in his own image, humans in his own image. See, when God created us, he created us with relationship with him in mind, right? And then he says this statement. He says, it's not good that man is alone. And all the men of God said, amen. And that God provided, not just, you know, and we can pigeonhole this into just the marriage relationship, but he said it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to do life alone. And we've seen that in this past year, that it's not good for people to be isolated and pulled away from each other, amen? And that we need each other. So when God created us, the idea, the plan was that when God created us, he made us in his own image. And as he put us in his own image, he wanted his character, his nature, his goodness, his kindness, right? He wanted that to be distributed all throughout the world, right? That's the plan. That's what heaven's like, right? His goodness, right? Everywhere. And so we know that the fall happens, and not only does it destroy this relationship, it destroys this relationship. Because right off the bat, we see the relationship vertically, amen, vertical church, vertically separated, but we also see that their very offspring, it destroys this relationship, so much so that a murder takes place. And really, if you go through the Old Testament, it's the story of broken relationship. The story of humanity is broken relationship with God and with each other. That's why the great commandment is we love God and we love others. See, when God had this great plan, he wanted us to imitate him on this earth. I talked about that last time I was here. But we're supposed to be imitators of God, right? So the plan is that we imitate him this way and we imitate him this way. So one of the things that I learned in my conversation with T-Mobile is I need to keep my eye on what the goal was. Everybody say the goal. The goal was not for me to be right with T-Mobile. The goal was to get, come on, connection back. Amen? The goal was to get that connection so that I can have connection on my cell phone back. Let's go to John. Let's find out what the goal is in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 20. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning. It says, I pray not for, oh, this is Jesus talking towards the end of his ministry. I pray not for these, he's praying to the Father, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. May they be one. Everybody say one. Father, as you and me and I and you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory, everybody say glory, that you have given me so that they may be one as we are. I am in them and you are in me. Watch this. So that they may be completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved me as you have loved them. Jesus, listen, the goal in relationship is that we would be one. So that when the world looks at vertical church, when the world looks at the body of Christ as a whole, they see us as one relationship. Which is amazing. Not only does he say, I want you all to be one, but God takes people, multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-background, multi-race, multi-issues in your past life, and puts us all together and says, now you get along and be a family. Not only get along, but be one. Relationship. That's the goal. Any other goal is a distraction from the relationship goal. The goal is relationship, so that the world, somehow God is going to work it all together Jesus is going to work it all together, that when we're all going to be one as he is one, and somehow God is going to it's going to be part of God's pouring his glory out, and as we become one, then the whole world will know who Jesus really is. So we're supposed to look different. I don't know about your family. You talk about, like, my family, we're all the same. Born the same. My kids are, I got a 17-year-old, a 22-year-old, an amazing wife of 25 years. See, we all come from the kind of the same background. We still don't get along always. And then to put that on us, like, look around this room, the different people that are in this room. We prayed about it back there in the back. All the different people that are in this room from different backgrounds. And God says, because of his glory, you guys can get along. We can get along. We can, not only that, have relationship. Amen? So the goal, so what I learned from T-Mobile, that conversation, is I need to remember the goal. I need to remember the goal. And the goal isn't always to be right. The goal is not always to be right. Sometimes being right is costly. The price of being right is costly. And I'll tell a story here in a little bit that my own experience just last week of being trying to be right. The next thing that we need to do is we also need to find and execute the solution. So the goal was that I get connected back with T-Mobile. The goal was that, and also we needed to figure out what went wrong and fix what went wrong. So I needed to go to the source. Many times we go to the wrong source to figure out our relational things, right? Many times, like, we get transferred to the wrong people that doesn't have the answer for us. The people in the personal cell phone part couldn't fix my business cell phone problem. Many times we go and you have maybe, not here. None of these marriages in here ever have issues. I'm talking about the other church down the street, right? But when we go through issues, like sometimes you go to the water cooler at work and you start talking about your issues. And let's just say you don't always get the best advice. Amen? Well, I wouldn't put up with that. Amen? I'll tell you what I would do. You get a lot of opinions when you start putting yourself, just put it out on Facebook. I promise you, there's customer support for your relationship all over Facebook. Kidding, bad idea. So, like, so you, yeah, don't go to Facebook for relationship support, right? You get wrong relationship, you get bad support, right? How many of you in this room, you've been married for more than 10 years? Raise your hand. How many of this room, awesome. How many of y'all been married for over 25 years in this room? Wow, awesome. How many of you been married for 50 years? Amen. Stand up. Would you stand up? Stand up for me. Or just keep your hands raised. Stand up. Listen. Hey, listen. All of you guys, amen. Amen. All of you guys who haven't been married, if you've been married less than 10 years, you need to buy these guys dinner, go out with them, and ask them how they did it. Amen? Amen. It's worth the investment. Amen? Because these are godly people who've known you've been through some stuff. Amen? It hasn't been all roses, has it? It hasn't been all perfect, has it? But you're still here today, and you're one. Amen? You fought through some stuff. You fought through some decisive battles, and you've made it to where you're at. Amen? These are great people that have been married for, I feel like I need to go out with lunch with you guys. I've been married for 25 years, so I'm getting there. But decisive battles. If you want to win the decisive battles, you need to go to the right source for the answers to those problems, the godly answers to those problems. Because God, it was God's intention. If God made it, he can fix it. So let's go to a scripture real quick. You ever going to go to a scripture? I am now. Galatians 5, like you guys are going to read on Friday. How about that? Maybe the Lord's trying to say something. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. We're going to read a lot of scripture this morning, if that's okay. It says this, Paul writing, he says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit what desires what is against the flesh. And those are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Context of the scripture is the law, love your neighbor, right, as yourself. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, adultery, sorcery. And we stop right there and we go, yeah, yeah, Pastor, get them. Get them, people. They're the bad ones. Because we don't like the next few that are the same work of the flesh, right? Hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, means divisions, factions, separating us out from one from another. Factions. Envy. And then he goes, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar to these things. I'm warning you about these things. I warned you before that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't want to get doctrinal here, but I don't necessarily believe that it's not a heaven thing. This is talking about God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. And what Jesus said, I want the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. When we operate in these ideas, we're not allowing the kingdom of God to come down on earth as it is in heaven. And these are flesh things. These are things that we do out of our own nature, a lot of times out of our own nature and what we want. Man, don't you, like jealousy, sometimes it just pours out of us. Envy, dissensions. These things, like, they cause us not to be the people that God's intended us to be. And if we act like these things, watch this, the world won't know. Because what good is it if we just love those who love us back? If we do good to those who just do good to us back? I think the real test of this oneness, is that when we don't agree, and there's temptation to have jealousy and all these other things that are in us, and we choose not to. And we choose the way of God. But then it goes this, it says, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Can we just for a moment, really, I don't know how you've read this in the past, but let's read this in the context of relationship. Because really a lot of these are relational things from one another. Peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Patience. Kindness. How's your kindness? Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. How's your gentleness? Self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with those selfish passions, right? Those passions and desires. But if we are led by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Look at the context of this whole scripture. We start off by saying, love your brother as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. We end, this is all relational talk that we're talking about in this portion of scripture. We should get mad about all the lust stuff that's going on and all the other partying and, oh yeah, let's preach against it. Absolutely. But don't forget these relational things that wage war against the oneness that Jesus wanted for us. Because remember, it's so that the whole world will know. And so as believers, We are called to a higher level of walk. What if the greatest commandment was that we really love God and loved each other? What if, crazy thought, that this was our main goal, that we love God and Paul says this, let love be your aim. That's our goal. That's our goal. Higher than being the best Bible teacher on the planet. Higher than being the best theologian that you know. Higher than being able to break down scripture. Jesus says, Paul says, make love your aim. And that should be the call sign of the believer. Love. And it works out in that peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But then you look at it and go, well, not everybody responds that way. That's really great until you're nice and kind to people and they don't repay that kindness with me. Romans chapter 12, my last scripture, it says this. It says, Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As long as it depends on you. It doesn't matter what the response is. This is always between you and him. This always has started out you and him. It's going to end you and him. So the response of the person that you're kind to, good to, it doesn't matter. It's all between you and him. As a matter of fact, when they respond in a negative way, all the more way to show the kindness and goodness of Jesus. Because wasn't Jesus kind to you? And good to you. So as much as it lies within you. But what does that require of me? How do I walk this out? I liked what Philip said last week. He said that it's not just struggling to make it happen. It's a work of the heart. So my background is a lot of charismatic stuff. And we talk about being filled with the Spirit. Right? We talk about being filled with the Spirit. We talk about all the signs and wonders. We talk about all the good stuff, amen, the tingles of the Holy Ghost. But my only issue is that if you're so filled with the Holy Spirit, these things should flow out of you. Matter of fact, Paul says none of that matters if it doesn't have love. So what does that require of me? That requires of me that every morning I get up and say, God, I need you to fill me afresh with your Spirit this morning. I need you, God. This is a crazy world out there, and my flesh wants to really rise up and say things I shouldn't say. God, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit today. Fill me, God, because I want the fruit of the Spirit. Notice if you have a fruit tree, the fruit on that tree is not for the tree. It's for the people who come by. So, relationships. You want to fight the battle for relationships? Walk in these principles. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in step, as the scripture says, with the Spirit. Which is all great until the other day I was at a store shopping with my wife. And guys, you ever it sounds good in your head? It sounds really funny in your head? And you even think about it for a second, and then you say it to your wife, and it just doesn't land like you thought it was going to land. I mean, it was really funny, and it landed terribly. You ever, it was a clothes store, and in that room, you feel the barometric pressure just shift in the air. How many of you men know that feeling? And the temperature actually dropped, I believe, into in the 30s in that building. It got real frosty. My joke didn't land well at all. And I was actually, I needed to make this phone call with a person from our discipleship department at our church. And she goes, why don't you just go outside and make that phone call? Oh, that's a great idea. And as I turned around and walked out, immediately my thought was, watch this. I'm a pastor. Love Jesus. My pastor was, What was that? It was a joke. Amen? It was a joke. Like, I can't believe she got so mad about that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I can't believe the inward dialogue that you have where you say, I can't believe that's that. I can't believe she just got so mad about that. Like, what's the deal? What's wrong with her? I love the married people that you've been married for over 50 years. You're like, we've had that before. Right? And like inside, you're like, God, what? That's just, and so I picked up the phone and like, I don't know about you, like I was having this phone conversation, trying to talk about some discipleship stuff at the church. My mind wasn't even in it anymore, right? You're like, yeah, that sounds, oh, I'm sure that'll be fantastic. Whatever you think is good, just go for it. Wonderful. Like I am dealing with something in my head. And so she comes out of the store, she gets into the car, and again, the temperature drops in the car, the barometric pressure drops, and changes everything, you know, the whole world, you know, and she's just, and so how many of you guys know, sometimes it takes you a minute. But as I was driving, we're leaving the parking lot, and she says, I said, hey, remember the goal, one, remember the goal. I said, Julie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made you mad with that conversation. It was a joke, and I didn't mean to make you mad. And she said, well, it didn't make me mad. It hurt. And I would love to say that it tweaked my heart, but I was like, what? It hurt? Swallow. And I remember that my wife is not only my wife, but she's the woman that God loves. All of a sudden, she's not just my wife. She's the daughter of the King. She's the one who Jesus died for. She's the one that if it was all about her, Jesus would have died for her. And all of a sudden, something inside you, the Spirit of God, help me process through all that. And one of those real apologies, amen. Not, I'm sorry if it hurt you. If you say if, that's not an apology. If you say if, it's not an apology. If I hurt you, I'm sorry. I'm a guest speaker. That's lame apology. God, listen, the apology is, I'm sorry that what I said hurt you. Even like the temptation to say, it was just a joke. I'm sorry that what I said hurt you. Julie, I never mean to hurt you. I never mean to be that way with you. Yeah. Oh. You see, the goal is oneness. See, if the goal is for me to be right, how many relationships, how many fights have exploded because of the desire to be right rather than to be one? See, if the world is looking for anything, it's hardwired in us to love each other. And the worship team, you can come on up. It's hardwired in us to love and to, it used to be hardwired into us, except for the fall. It's hardwired in us to need each other, to be in relationship, because that's the way God designed it. And so, but it's not always our flesh gets in the way. Listen, we can't do this on our own. I liked what the worship team, God fights our battles. Aren't you glad? God is at work in me to both will and to do for his good pleasure. And I don't know about you, but I want the love of God. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be, you know, I tell our church all the time, I don't want to be the old get off my lawn guy. Sitting on my porch, hey, get off my lawn. I want to be generous of heart, loving others. The nature and character of God living in me in such a profound way that people go, I don't know about all these other Christians, but that guy, there's something different about them. Amen? Let's all stand together. And listen, it's a battle. It is a decisive battle. It is a battle that we fight to walk in the character and nature of Jesus, because it is so rare. Isn't this rare in our culture today? Isn't it awful what we do to each other, what we say to each other, and how we treat each other? Let me just say, that's fine for the world. If the world wants to act that way, have at it. Listen, not here. Not in the body of Christ. We have a mission to fulfill. We have a thing to do for our Lord, is to imitate him so that all the world will know the way we love each other, so that all the world will know that Jesus was sent to us. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, guys, for letting me come.